Well, I didn't run you off yet. We'll try some more. All right. Exodus 20. We're going to continue on the Sabbath. My goal, I would like to get through these Ten Commandments and maybe have time for another message or a couple other different messages tomorrow afternoon. But we'll see how we go. Exodus chapter 20. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we continue on, I'd ask again that you would bless your word and cover the weakness of this man. Your word is powerful, it's quick, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So help us to grab a hold of that which you have for us personally. We thank you that you love us. This Ten Commandments is a covenant of love. You just could have let us go and go to hell, but you are doing everything you can to save our souls, to get us to yourself. And all of the bliss of eternity and the peace and the joy and the beauty, you want us there with you. Help us not to fight against you, but to work with you. Come, Holy Spirit, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to understand, our eyes to see, our tongues to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. See where I leave off here. Okay, I think I'm here. I'm going to read my outline that I didn't do to start off on this, what I'll be trying to accomplish. And when I'm done, if any of you want to copy, I had 8 pages on this I took out of my notes. But started with 4 opening observations. The God is sovereign of our time. The command is really for all men, specifically for the Jews, and we'll cover that here in a few minutes. The reason for the command, and then the nature of the command, it's where we're at right now, the fourth thing, and there's 6 things I'll share with you about this. Then we'll go into the design of the command for the home and cover some things there. And then 3 main Sabbath rests. We'll probably go through those a little bit fast, except for the third one, the creation rest, the covenant rest, and the cross rest. Then we'll cover, Lord willing, New Testament guidelines for our Sabbath day. We may have already covered those things somewhat. And I might give you some quotes from like Morgan, Moody, Murray on this. These men lived in different days than ours. The world has creeped in on us a lot more. I know for myself, I like to take my Sabbath day from Saturday evening from 6 till Sunday evening till 6 if possible, but I'm not legalistic. If I need to get some gas, I have to. I'll try not to, but I will. And I'm just flexible in that, but I do have a path. And if I get home in the afternoon, I like to just take some time and just read my Bible or maybe read a good Christian book. But if company comes and whatever and something comes up, I'm not set in stone. This is the whole thing. You have got to do it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you. You can't ride your bicycle, you know. So it's between you and the Lord. It's really designed to bring you closer to the Lord, even though it might seem like it's really a protective thing, these commandments. They're really a blessing that God's given us. So then we may have 5 lessons to cover and then do a little Sabbath review on some different aspects of rest. We'll see how far we get through all this. and some encouraging words, and then the last thing I have. All right, the nature of the command. You didn't know there's so much stuff in here, did you? I didn't either till I just got to digging and studying some of these other guys and making notes and things, and I tried to sort of outline it a little bit. But this command, A, is perpetual. It wasn't done away with by Jesus, but God left it. And like Judge Moore down in Alabama has it up in his courtroom, the Ten Commandments, and there's nothing wrong with it. And we have a church fellowship near where we live, and they've got the Ten Commandments on the sign out there. It's interesting. Why do men want to get rid of it? If you've been in the Supreme Court, up in the top, unless they've got rid of them, is Moses holding the Ten Commandments. Now, it's been a long time since I was in Washington, D.C., but I noticed the second time I was there, and the first time, they have been removing anything to do with God in this area. They've been just quietly disappears. Jefferson Monument has had barricades around it for years. He has a lot of, I don't know how much of a Christian he was, but all kinds of quotes from Scripture and things. And so there's a really anti-God, anti-Ten Commandments, anti-Christ movement going along pretty strong in our country. Part of the swamp. Okay. It's perpetual. Placed in the moral law. And Christ said he didn't come to destroy the law. We'll mention that. But another thing, it's binding. It seems to be something that God has given for man to be binding on him. You know, it's not bad. Of course, man's not going to follow the Sabbath because he's not connected to the Creator as far as that goes. But it's restful. It's designed to be something to slow us down. Those wild-paced rascals will just go and go. And we need a governor on us, and it's like a governor. Years ago, when I was pastor in our first church in Wyoming, and I might have told you this story too, but anyway, we were at a Bible camp, and I was there, and there was a nurse, and I found out there was a kid that just died. And the nurse went there and got him going again, and I don't know how I got there, but I was there or whatever. And she said, "This kid just keeps dying." And so I ran and grabbed my station wagon, threw down the seat, and backed over there, got the nurse and the kid in the back, and I think it was about 15 miles to the nearest hospital. And so we took off. I mean, it was a hairy trip. We had to go 2 miles on gravel to get back to the interstate and then go back. We were going to North Platte, Nebraska. Maranatha Bible Camp's what it was. But I remember going down the highway and she said, "He's gone." And then she'd get him going again, getting back to life. And I'm on the CB trying to get a hold of the state police, trying to get a hold of the hospital to get them ready. And I couldn't get a hold of anybody. And I found out how fast my station wagon would go. It would only go 100. If it went more, it probably killed us. The tires wouldn't have. You know, I just had it down. And it just was a hard, amazing thing to have a nurse back there saying, "This kid is gone again. He just died." And we got him to the hospital. They didn't know we were coming and got in there. And I think he was from Lincoln. They found out he had some kind of rare deal that would just shut the body down. I don't know much more about that, but that's what I heard. They found that there was something there wrong. It would just shut him down. He'd just stop. And I guess she would give him CPR or whatever and get him going again. But that governor on the car probably saved us from being killed. You know, if we'd go 150, I'd go 150. And so we need this law. We need this. We need the Sabbath to help us. Because of this one, it's restful. It's designed to help us to rest. And it represents a new day because it's the first day of the week. Number 8 is the number of new beginnings. And so the old was passed. The old law of condemning and holding you in, it was passed. And so it's a new day that he gave us. It was a redemptive day because it's the first day of the week. The resurrection, Christ rose on the first day of the week. And so it was given to us in Christ. So it was a new day to be restful and redemptive. It was to be a joyful day. So much of this has been thrown over to squelch us down, and we just got to get through this. I wish I didn't have to do this and whatever. We're really bad sometimes about putting things upon ourselves that God doesn't put on. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. David said in Psalms 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So it's to be a day we look forward to and enjoy. And so a laborless day is basically the heart of the whole thing, to quit working and just enjoy God. And when Jesus died on the cross, this is the next thing, it's complete. When he said it was finished, the law was fulfilled in Christ, and it was all complete. Somebody said the law Sabbath was preparing us for the Christ Sabbath. And so it was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. If I had time, if I read through you all the things about the law in the book of Galatians, wow, it's laid it out. You know, it was a burden to the Jews. And it was because it constrained them. And so Christ frees us. I'm going to share an illustration about that in a minute with you. And so the law was really a preparation for Christ, the Christ rest. It was a preparation. There's also the protection. And so the resurrection day of Christ was the product. God had all this in the past, the Ten Commandments and all this, to get us free, to get us to love him and enjoy him. And these guys, when they got saved in the early church, after being all these hundreds and hundreds of years under the bondage of the law, and they called it a yoke and all these things, boy, they were happy. They were free. And they could go to the temple and worship, but they wasn't going to get thrown in jail and have the Pharisees come after them, whatever. Maybe they tried, whatever. But they were free in Christ. It was a wonderful thing. The joy of the Lord was their strength. So, Adrian Rogers said, we should not try to undo what God has done. And he's basically, he's getting to this point that God is doing something to get us to freedom, to get us to Christ. And he said, salvation is by grace and not by works. And works is an attempt to undo what Christ did on the cross. And so if God was satisfied with the death of Christ, with his blood being shed, then we should be too. And if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, surrender yourself to him and let him be your Lord, then you're not satisfied with what God did for you on the cross, and you will pay for that for all eternity in hell. And you'll realize that was the biggest mistake you've ever made, because you can't undo it. And Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Your soul is so valuable that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell and pay for your sins. It's all done. And if you do go to hell, you'll realize you didn't have to. That it was paid. Your penalty was paid, but you wouldn't accept the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What do you do with a gift? If I offer you a $100 bill, is it yours? No, not until you reach out and take it. Maybe a long day, a long time before I offer you a $100 bill, but it's yours when you take it, and that's the way it is. It's a gift. Take it if you're not saved. Take it. Receive Christ. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power to become the sons of God. He that hath the Son, 1 John 5, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you have life. If somebody gave you $1 million and never told you about it, you wouldn't enjoy it. Well, God wants you to know if you've got eternal life to enjoy it. You don't have to work your way into heaven. Jesus did the work. And so the Sabbath rest, he that is entered into his rest is ceased from his own works. And so the Sabbath is an amazing thing, because it's designed to get us to the product, to get it to the resurrection day of Christ. And it's very considerate. God is considerate that we got things in our life. He knows that we've got complications. He knows we have surprises that happen in our life. Now, here's the three things about the consideration of God. Three types of work that are allowed. Because the big thing about work is when we work, when we shouldn't be working, we're saying, I've got to take care of myself. God, you will not be able to take care of me. Just like the wagon train. Little bit by little bit, they caught up, passed them up. And so when we will not rest and we go try to make some money or whatever, we're saying, God, you're not sufficient. And God is sufficient and he will cover you. First is the work of necessity. The work of necessity is getting the ox out of the ditch. And I just sort of wonder if that day all the Pharisees, scribes, whatever there, when Jesus said, if you got an ox, won't you go get him out of the ditch? It just wouldn't surprise me if God that day sent all their oxes into the ditch. And they're all stuck around. And they all look around at each other. How do you know? How do you know? But the work of necessity. You know, and just like, let me go to Luke 13. I want to take you to this one. He just did it on purpose. In verse 11, Luke 13, 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and bowed together. Here she is, 18 years, bowed over with the spirit of infirmity. And could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The law could not loose her, but Jesus Christ could. The law binds and keeps us bound. Uh-oh. Silence doesn't work for an alarm. I get my alarm set for several times a day to pray. Help us, Lord. So the law couldn't loose her. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou hypocrite. Then he went into the loosing of the ox. It wasn't work for Jesus to heal. And so it's a work of necessity, and there's works of mercy where the medical area, you know, if you're going to have to get to the emergency room or what, you want somebody there on Sunday, don't you? You know, it's a work of mercy. We have to do those things. And just like the withered hand, the guy stuck out his withered hand, they got mad at him about that. And so there's works of necessity, there's works of mercy, but there's also works of worship. And this is where the work of ministry is in. We do this. Otherwise we wouldn't have any teaching and preaching of the word on the first day of the week, on Sunday. It's a work of ministry, but it's not really a work, it's ministry. And it's for a refreshing. If a man on the Sabbath day, he did that. He said, on the Sabbath day, you will circumcise a little boy. But yet, if I make somebody whole, heal him, you come after me? Hypocrites. He was just, you know, sort of probably rough living with Jesus around, exposing everything going on in their hearts that was wrong. But this day was supposed to be a profitable day because the Lord blessed it. And whatever God blesses, it's good. And it's profitable. You know, what's it profitable for? These three things. It's profitable for a relationship with Him. It's profitable for a contented life. And it's profitable for strength, redoing your strength. You know, there's probably some of us here, we have worked 7 days and maybe 10 days or whatever, and it will wear you down. You'll wear yourself out, you wear your equipment out, and it's a principle of life. Listen to this little poem. I don't know where I got it, some Puritan probably. A Sabbath well spent brings a week of content and strength for the toils of the morrow. But a Sabbath profaned, whatever may be gained, is a certain forerunner of sorrow. I have in my hand a string, a violin string. Can you see it? Can't see it? It's there, you know. Imagine it's there. And what profit is this violin string unless it's put on the violin? Some of our kids play violins and violas and flutes and piano and stuff like that. But when you put it on the violin and string it with the other strings, unless you're going to be some kind of famous violin player that his strings broke and he went down to one string and he could still play beautiful music. But it's got to be strung, right?
Right.
Let me read you this little thing about the violin string. A violin string lying on a table, it is free to move in any direction we choose, but it is not free to sing. Take it up and bind it in the violin, and when it is bound, its music can be evoked. When it is gripped, it is free to sing, and the law that runs everywhere comes to its climax in Jesus. Jesus offers all men complete liberty, liberty throughout the entire structure of human society, but it is always a liberty that is conditioned by an inward loyalty. We think, oh God, you're bounding me up, the string. Don't take me, don't take me, don't tie me down, don't stretch me. No tying down, no hooking up, no music. And so the law is designed to bring into our soul music and joy and strength and power and the testimony of Christ being there. It's the law of liberty because it brings us to Christ. It's quite a statement. When it is gripped, it is free to sing. Has God got every area of your heart gripped? This is when we need revival. When God comes along and says, you're going to wear yourself out. I get tired watching you. Why don't you relax? Do some changing. Take some time. Get along. You ever get on your face and just be quiet? Get you a notebook because the devil's going to bring all these things up you need to hop up and go do, and a lot of them right now. But just get before God. Be still and know that He's God. It's rest. It's rest. I told you there's a lot of stuff in this Sabbath. It's amazing. You can go dig more and dig in there because it's going to take you to Christ. I had all these four opening observations. Now, that was A, B, the fourth commandment, the design for the home. Don't miss this one. First, I've got five designs. It's designed for fellowship. How many homes are just split up? People going everywhere. But if you got one day a week when you gather together, you worship together if you can, and whatever devil's busting up our lives and our homes. But it's designed for at least one week, one day, you have a meal together. We took a guy home from the rescue mission in Denver years ago and fed him. I gave him my nice Pendleton coat, because it was winter and whatever. And he sat down at our little old table, and we were living in a turkey coop that had been converted in an apartment. And the man that was on the ranch, he didn't charge us much at all. But he I don't know how old he was, probably in his 20s. He said it's the first time he ever sat down and had a meal at a table with a family. His family didn't do that. And so fellowship. Another is designed to strengthen the home. And so it draws us together and strengthens. The third is it's designed to regulate our time. We can coordinate. You know, we had seven kids, and they just going here and there. And they get older, you don't know hardly what's going on. But you have one day a week, we gather, we go to church, and we worship together. We meet with God, and then we have some time. So it's to regulate our time. Another thing, it's given as a gift for good. So it's a gift from God to take some time. But the fifth thing is designed to be a blessing, to keep us home. It's just, it's all good. This commandment is good. And God says, if you don't, you remember this little word He had in verse 8? Remember. Remember. We get pretty forgetful sometimes. We get pretty busy. And God sometimes brings some things to, I know that I've read stories about pastors who are so busy and whatever, and then once God laid them out on their back, they wasn't so busy and they had some time to contemplate and think. God has a way of slowing us down. So it might be better for us to put the brakes on before He does. Three main rests. There's creation rest, and we've touched on this. This pertains to God. It means to cease. Why did He quit? He was done. He had all the... Was He done? Well, sin came along and God had to go back to work again. And so He's working on that redemption rest to get us to. And He's working. But from creation, He was done. He was finished. And when Jesus comes along, He says these things that drive these Pharisees and scribes crazy. He says, my Father works and hitherto I work. We're working together. and you making Father God to be your father and making yourself God, and they try to stone him and all this stuff. But it was a covenant rest and pertaining to Israel. I want to read you about Israel. I'm going to go to Ezekiel 31, and time-wise, I should read all the way from 13 to 18. And I think I will, so we have this clear in our mind. Exodus 31:13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. There's a special connection. This was for Israel. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of the rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children, remember the guy picked up sticks when Moses died. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. So there's the basic thing. It was for Israel. It was a covenant rest. Why death? Why such a severe thing? I believe it was this. Because to work was to say that God was not sufficient to take care of them. Form of blasphemy. So we have to be careful. And it's interesting, some today want to live as the Jews under the law, but they don't want the consequences. They get the curses that go along with it. Matter of fact, I'll give you a little detail on it. Well, it doesn't work too good for us. In 35:3, ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. No stove. Be a little bit tough up here. No fire. You can freeze to death. No furnace. You can't drive your car because when you hit the ignition, you got fire. And then the spark comes in there. No light that would come from a fire. And so do you really want to be under all of this? No, we want to go to Christ. They went to 70 years in Babylon because they wouldn't honor God in his word. And so those three rests, the third rest, that was the creation rest, covenant rest, and now the rest of the cross. Let's go into this a little bit. This is why sometimes we bring pain upon ourselves. We worry, we fret. We do things because we haven't entered into his rest. When did Jesus' rest finish on this earth? On the cross. He said it's finished. But then he went to heaven and he's up there interceding for us. So that's another rest. But on the earth, all that was needed for us, in the temple, when the priest went in there and went into the Holy and Holy, there were no chairs in there. They were perpetually working. There was no rest. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was finished. And so when we go to Hebrews, I'm going to go to Hebrews here in a minute. It was rest. The only place after Acts that Sabbath is mentioned is Colossians 2:12-17. The Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. So there's all these references to the Sabbath, what it was, but it was a shadow of what? It was a shadow of the cross. And so when Paul met Jesus, or Jesus met Paul on the Damascus Road, wow, he was freed from all of that bondage, and he was set free in Christ. And that law that he was driving, killing Christians, killing mothers and little kids. And he was a brutal guy, and I don't think he ever got over the memory of all of that he did. He was mad upon his idol. As Jeremiah said, they're mad upon their idols. But it was a shadow of the cross. And so there again we come back. If you come to the law and you don't make it to Christ, you're just dealing with the shadow. And think about Jesus. He said, Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all of ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When we're crucified with Christ, we entered into the restful life. That doesn't mean that we, every day, every second of our life, we stay there because we stumble. Something will come up. You know, we can't start our car, and the first reaction is, "Oh no." Then we begin to figure out, well, maybe God's got something to do with this. And so we come back and we relax. We wasn't looking forward to whatever the consequences would have been of that. But we have to always come back to Christ and rest. But you can't come back to Christ if you never go the first time. And so it was a shadow of rest. "Come unto me, all of you who are weary." And so the first day is a birthday celebration every week. Number new beginning. Let me switch over here. I've already covered those things. Cover these things too. Hebrews 3 and 4. If you want to go back there, I'm going to bounce around a little bit in that. There's a lot there. And so if, when I hit it, you might be there. Hebrews 3 and 4. I'm going to slip over and get into these things here. It's a guideline to help us. Adrian Rogers said, make it a holy day, make it a healthy day, make it a happy day. The holy day is the worship part. And when we make it a healthy day, that's the rest part. When we make it a happy day, that's the rejoicing part. I liked what he said about that. You know, just whatever we do, we have to make sure our heart is connected to the Lord and whatever. So make it a number one, a priority. He said to remember it. I'm going to come back and say something here, and I'll get to Hebrews here in a minute. There it is. How to remember it. And that's where I set for myself my own personal goal, which I can't always keep it. I don't like to go out Saturday nights, and some of the people in the church like to have a fellowship Sunday night or a birthday party or whatever. And once in a while, I might violate that because of circumstances. But it's my principle of trying to remember to prepare by Saturday night to get ready. You know, the Bible says it was the evening. In the morning, God starts his day in the evening. The Sabbath day, you know, for the Jews will start in the evening. At sundown they go. So it's the evening and morning. That's why I get it. And, you know, you come. And let me give you an illustration. I know this would never happen. But even getting ready for church and whatever, first day of the week, could be stressful sometimes. You know, our families drive a long distance. A lot of them, some of them are in town and there. But can you imagine a family, they got a bunch of little kids, and the wife's in there trying to get everything ready. And now my dad was to get there early, 15 minutes. My mom was to get there late, 15 minutes. You know, and the marriage is saved because they could walk to church around the corner. But it can be stressful, can it, sometimes? So can you imagine this scene? You got all these little kids. You got 25 little kids. Maybe five or six. But anyway, all of a sudden, the dad, he's doing his thing. He's an organizer. He's got to get there early. This is the way to do it. Mom's doing the best she can. So he gets in the car and gives a little toot. Nobody comes. The kid might straggle out every now and then. And toot, toot. And then in a few minutes, it's just beep, 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 beep. So here comes the wife. She comes out there. She opens the door and she said, "Get out." So he gets out. She gets in. And she says, "Now you go get the kids ready and I'll honk the car." Beep, beep, hurry up. You know. So what do we do with stress? You know, we have to stay restful in our heart. Or this thing will take over, you know, beep, beep, beep. So it's designed, the cross designed to bring us to peace, to bring us to Christ, to keep us free from stress, because stress does things to our bodies, you know. and all these things. So have a plan. Go to bed early. It's amazing how many times this day can get rearranged by some pleasure or whatever. And it's just amazing that maybe we don't pray about some of the things we do. MacArthur said we have a recreational mindset. Well, recreation's good, but there's a time and a place for it. So the heart of the matter still is the heart of the matter. And Jesus, of course, he said, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We have to keep our heart on the Lord and the whole deal. I'm not going to tell you you can't eat ice cream on Sunday or whatever. You do that between you and the Lord. I may not get to Hebrews in a minute. I want to read you a quote. Here's another. I've got these quotes. Let me go through some quotes by some of the giants. G. Campbell Morgan was an Englishman over there, a great expositor, teacher of the Word. He said, the most insidious and dangerous attack upon the Sabbath, however, is that of those who would take advantage of the rest which has come to them through the government of God in order to prove by the folly of their pleasure seeking and the weary restlessness of their feverish activity, their departure from that government. That's the heart. He said, it was made for man. Then man must of necessity make a divinely intended use of this great gift that God has given to us. Moody said, the church of God is losing its power on account of so many people giving up the Sabbath and using it to promote selfishness. It's probably because of the Christians, the restaurants are open on Sunday. You know, if the Christians, especially if you have a lot of Christians in the area, wouldn't go there, they probably would shut down. But we are probably the blame. Matter of fact, we're probably the blame for the condition of our country, because we have gone to more entertainment and less prayer and all these different things. So it was to be a holy convocation for Israel and then for us. A family ordinance. It's a family ordinance because it's to the parents. This is from Murray, Andrew Murray. It's to the parents, to the child, through the parents, so they're going to pick up. The parent must first learn to keep the Sabbath holy, then train the child to do that. My wife and I was talking last night about some of our children. I think we should have sat down with them more individually and talked to them personally, because you get so busy and whatever. But if you would purpose to maybe take some time with your children, you know, I guess Susanna Wesley would do that with her children. She had, 19? Or something. But he said, training is first by example. What I am and do is more important than what I tell them to do. That type of things. All right. Um, 11:30. Don't remember what time. I've lost concept of time. So I've got five lessons here. And some of these things, the Sabbath is to be a holy day. And I've got a quote here. It is in fellowship with God that we are made holy. So that's another aspect of it. If we draw near to God, you're going to become what you are near to. And say, God, you know, he only asked for one day from us to take some time to be with him. So it's in fellowship with God that we are made holy. The day of rest, entering into his rest. One of the areas, and I've touched on this early, is the area of mixture. And that's the thing that we each individually have to work on in this area. These five lessons, the day of blessing, a day of duty. Let's talk about duty a little bit. A day of duty. Because in verse 8 of there, I think the concept of duty. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think it's a concept of duty to keep. In other words, the idea is don't work. And there's a requirement of duty. There's dangers of duty. And the requirement of duty is these three areas. As I looked at this, First of all, a sacrifice personal enjoyment and pleasure to give some time for God. B, to exercise of our thoughts towards God. And then it's a separation from the profane. The profane, the definition of that is a desecration of something holy. So, we do some sacrificing. Maybe we want to go do something. But God said, take some time with me. And take our thoughts, put some thoughts on God in separation from the profane. And this is why probably some of the old timers, they really made it strict so that they would do that. But then it became sort of legalistic if it wasn't in their heart. So then when they get kids get a chance, they break away from this bondage. Dangers of duty. Excuse me. There's two principles in our nature that satisfy us. One is work. We should enjoy working. And then also we enjoy rest. We like pleasure. We like to do that. We were designed to work and we were designed to rest. So we have these two areas. But here's the first danger is to work and not rest. To work and not rest. This is machinery's. And do things like this. To work and not rest. And then the other is to turn rest into a selfish use and too much pleasure. And a third danger is to seek to be holy without separation from the profane. And so God rewards the true duty of our heart in these things. So true fellowship, true enjoyment of God is the goal in this area. I'm sorry I have to flip through all these notes and things. There's where we get into Hebrews. What time should we stop? Okay. 5 minutes. 15 minutes. Okay, 15 minutes? Okay. Right now I can't remember when I started. My wife would tell you, I lose complete concept of time. I just... it's such a problem sometimes. I can't remember where I started, where I'm at, and where I'm going. A day of surrender. A day of surrender. And this goes into the divided life. I don't think I'll go into this too much here. In the divided life of the ordinary worldly Christian, there is no true satisfaction in worship or the world. If we are a Christian, we love God, but yet we try to get a little bit of both. And we do the wrong thing, which we should be given to God, whatever God leads you to do. You won't have satisfaction in the worship or in the thing you went into. So if you ever buy something, you had to have it, you thought about it, you shopped, you looked, you priced, and finally when you get it, and then you set it aside. You know, there's no satisfaction once you got it. And that's the way it is, going after the wrong thing. This quote by... Murray, if God is our greatest joy and we desire and love to serve Him, He Himself will sanctify our Sabbaths. Our hearts, our homes, our children, by His holy presence, the Sabbath will become a part of a life holy to the Lord. And that's the goal, to get to the Lord. And that's the thing, that when we get our heart right, all the other things, whatever that might be put upon us legally or whatever, we are not bound to that thing or to a principle. We make rules for ourselves and laws, but we are like the violin string. We are bound to the Lord, and we're free. And we don't get ourselves in bondage, and we don't put others in bondage. The Jews were putting others in bondage because they were not free. And the reason they could not heal the lame and whatever is because they were not connected to God. A story years ago, a man that had been the vice president of a major seminary in our country, and maybe I told you this story, but I was with a doctor friend of mine down where I was raised. We have great fellowship. And we were in his house, and this man had been thrown out of the university because he had exposed himself to his friends about a struggle he had, a lust he had, and when he shared his heart, hoping that they would help him, they threw him out. He found himself out. He was out of his position. He was out of work. He was out. He was out on the sidewalk. It just threw him out. And he's just confused. And he didn't know what. And I'm sitting there. And I said, Tom, do you know why they did that? And he said, no, I needed help. I said, the reason they threw you out is because they didn't know what to do. The reason they didn't know what to do was because they were probably not connected to the Lord. Because if Jesus had been there in them, in the Spirit, they would have known what to do. They would have helped you. They would have reached out and loved you and hugged you. But because they were not connected, Jesus was not free to minister to you there. Oh, I understand. And then we went in and he was free. He had that struggle. He was free from that, but he was still bound up by the experience that he went through. You know, we can be hurt by people. I went through a lot of hurt growing up. You know, all of my inferiority feelings. You know what inferiority is? It's an inverted superior party. Superiority. Both of them is focusing on yourself. And you got to get free. And so you can't set others free until you're free. And so the law was to bring them to Christ so they'd be free. And these Christians, then the first church they were, must have been incredible. We're going to throw you to the lions. I don't care. You can't hurt me. I'm going to go be with Jesus. And so God was their greatest joy and their desire, and they loved him. They were not hooked up on all their stuff and all their rules and all that stuff. And so these guys, they wanted to look spiritual, but not be spiritual. There was Jesus trying to help them to get spiritual in that area. All right, the Sabbath and the in this commandment, the different aspects of rest. Now back over to Hebrews. Should I stop or keep going for a few minutes? What time's lunch?
12? It's a convenient time to stop. Lunch is ready.
Oh, okay. Good. Let's just pray. You want me to pray for the meal?
Sure.
Okay. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the fellowship. And thank you for your word. And some of this stuff might be we don't really understand. But maybe you gave us something to really think about. And so help us to grab a hold of that which we have received that's really spoken to us. Bless the meal. Thank you for all of the work that went into it and all the preparation for these meetings. In Jesus' name, amen.